Welcome back to Beyond the Uniform. I'm Justin Asiri, and each week I meet with military veterans to learn about their civilian career, what it is exactly that they do, how they got there, and advice they'd share with any other veteran seeking to do the same. Today is episode number 204 with Ironbound Boxing founder Mike Stedman.
What I found out for myself was that I was less interested in what I saw coming out of civic organizations and, you know, asking for handouts and all this kind of stuff. I was more focused on creating value and actually tapping into the business community and fundraising and, you know, some of the more stuff I saw for people like doing startups. And so I was downloading books. I was doing a lot of stuff. And then, you know, thank God I got a scholarship to go out to Stanford Ignite. And that was really what kind of ignited me on this entrepreneurship journey of how do I fundraise for this gym and how do I make it sustainable? Because to be honest, if you're asked for handouts all the time, you know, that's not going to create the kind of sustainability we want.
Well, I found my conversation with Mike inspiring, to say the least. 15 minutes into our conversation, I was zoning out a little bit because I was donating to Ironbound Boxing. That's how much I was impressed with what Mike is doing and the work that he is doing in the world. He is a great example of an entrepreneur. I think his passion, his determination, and resilience really come through in everything he says. And his company is also a fantastic example of a hybrid organization that has both a for-profit and a socially driven component of that business. If you are considering entrepreneurship, or if you just want to hear about an incredible military veteran who is doing good in the world after his military service, this is the interview for you. If you are interested in supporting Ironbound Boxing, you can donate to their organization or support them through introductions to companies, Prudential in particular, or by providing technical assistance. So with that, let's dive in to my conversation with Mike Stedman. Joining me today in Newark, New Jersey is Mike Stedman. Mike, welcome to Beyond the Uniform.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
So for listeners, for context, Mike is the founder of Ironbound Boxing, which helps employees get fit, have fun, and support a great cause. They provide on-site boxing classes to corporations of all sizes in order to improve participants' self-confidence, morale, and health. Ironbound Boxing is also a fundraising tool for the Ironbound Boxing Academy, which is a nonprofit boxing gym which provides free recreation to Newark youth and young adults. Mike started out at the Naval Academy, after which he served as a Marine Corps officer for 5 years. He's in the process of earning his Master's of Arts from Rutgers University and graduated from the Stanford Ignite program. So, Mike, maybe to start things off, let me actually start with a very high-level question, because I think you have an interesting background because you've got so much going on. If someone were to ask you what you do for a living, how would you explain what you do?
I really tell people I'm a boxing coach. You know, that's what I, you know, I think that encompasses pretty much who I am and what I do. And all my entrepreneur endeavors are really built around that. So, you know, I'm a boxing coach and, you know, social entrepreneur.
That's awesome. What was the, how would you describe, I give a brief description about the Ironbound Boxing as well as Ironbound Boxing Academy. Could you give a little bit more detail about the work you're doing?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, you know, my background at the Naval Academy, I was a three-time national champ boxer at 175 pounds. So really fell in love with the sport while I was there. I mean, it really helped me get through college. I was great friends, and it's just been a part of me ever since. You know, I was actually introduced to the sport of boxing while at the Naval Academy. And
you'd never boxed before the academy.
Never boxed before the academy.
That's so wild! Wow. All right.
And but because boxing was so influential in my life and what it allowed me to do, you know, at the academy, and then how heavily I leaned on it while I was in the Marine Corps, I always wanted to use it as a way to give back to my own, you know, community, which is, you know, really helping out young Black and Latino males, or what I say now, you know, young men and women of color. And really trying to come up with creative ways that speak to them. And one of the things I noticed at the Naval Academy is that we were all midshipmen and we're boxing and we're going to all these inner city gyms. And as we graduate, I mean, we're going to go off and be officers in the military. You know, people are going to go to business school. They're all going to go do amazing stuff. but I just noticed that the kids at the gyms we would go to, they didn't have the same opportunities we had. So obviously boxing is a great sport, but why is it that at the service academies, you know, people are going off to do great stuff, but the kids in the inner city, you know, they're kind of, you know, one and done, right? They don't really have any options. Boxing is like just keeping them out the streets. So how do I mirror the experiences and the opportunities that I had at the Naval Academy with a boxing program in the inner city? And that's where, you know, the concept of the Ironbound Boxing and the brand came up.
And was this something you had thought about while in the Marine Corps, or can you pinpoint a moment where you had the idea, but maybe even more importantly, the moment when you thought, like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to go off on my own and make this happen.
Yeah, so even while I was in the Marine Corps, I had some short stints with different boxing programs. So I had an assignment to the Marine Corps boxing team, but they actually ended up, the Marine Corps actually disbanded the team. But I was assigned over there trying to help it get stood back up, but unfortunately we weren't able to. But either way, I was always training Marines in boxing. I would go on deployments. I would start boxing clubs on deployment, particularly in Okinawa, Japan. And, you know, I was always training Marines. And but it was getting to me of not being able to work with them on a full-time basis, mainly because people are always coming and going, different duty stations, you know, me going to the field and whatnot, because I was an infantry officer, so I was always in and out of the field and, you know, really just kind of thinking about what if I had something that was stood up and that people could actually come and find me, you know, at all times. But in the Marine Corps, I started a business called Fighting Mojo, and it was really my first stab at doing some branding around my boxing program. And Ironbound was really just the evolution of that, because I actually ended up getting a partner when I came to Newark. And our gym, we did the gym in the Ironbound neighborhood of Newark, New Jersey, hence the name Ironbound. And we co-founded a nonprofit called Ironbound Boxing Education. So, to answer your question, it's always been there and I've always been doing it, but the branding piece and where it's at now were some lessons I had to learn along the way to get it the visibility it has now.
I love it. I mean, one of the things I respect a lot about what you're doing, but one of the things I really appreciate is it seems like from an external standpoint, you've got Ironbound Boxing, you're working with companies that have more money and they're able to do this for their employees to get them in shape and have fun and build a lot of morale and unit cohesion amongst their team. And then that helps subsidize this other aspect of this nonprofit that is giving this as a resource to children who have needs for this. And I just love that combination of the for-profit and the not-for-profit aspect and how they seem to work together.
Yeah, no, that actually came about through, you know, that's where the entrepreneurship mindset comes in, because, you know, as I was, you know, I got a space from the city of Newark to outfit a gym. I pitched the city and asked them if they had extra space in the city, could I outfit as a boxing gym? And I told them they don't have to pay anything. I'll pay for it all myself. And that was really my stab at, like, okay, full-on entrepreneurship, because they gave me the thumbs up. What I found out for myself was that I was less interested in what I saw coming out of civic organizations and, you know, asking for handouts and all this kind of stuff. I was more focused on creating value and actually tapping into the business community and fundraising and, you know, some of the more stuff I saw for people like doing startups. And so I was downloading books. I was doing a lot of stuff. And then, you know, thank God I got a scholarship to go out to Stanford Ignite. And that was really what kind of ignited me on this entrepreneurship journey of how do I fundraise for this gym and how do I make it sustainable? Because to be honest, if you're asked for handouts all the time, you know, that's not going to create the kind of sustainability we want. And we need to have something that would allow us to do the programs we want, but also do it in an efficient manner where we have predictable revenue coming in. And so, you know, the concept of the hybrid business model, which is what you alluded on, is that you have this for-profit component that feeds into this nonprofit. The only difference that we did, but it's just the nature of the beast, was typically you have the for-profit business start first. They do really well. Then they create this separate foundation, as opposed to we kind of started out in the nonprofit field. And it was like, okay, now I need to kind of break off and figure out a way to help fund this. And I think I could do it through a for-profit model.
That's great, man. I think that's so great. I love I think there's a lot of exceptional nonprofits in the world who are doing good and are structured really well. But I just love this pairing. I love what jumps out to me as you talk about this is just the proactive nature of what you're doing and the power of what you're doing, of wanting to
pave your own way, not looking for handouts or things like that, but really generating real value from which you can drive revenue and use that to support the nonprofit. I think that's just very inspirational.
Thank you.
What was the, you mentioned Stanford Ignite. How did that come about that you took part in Stanford Ignite? And I'd love to hear what that program was like and how it helped you as an entrepreneur.
Yeah, absolutely. So I was, it's very organic how it happened. I was picking up a buddy of mine from the airport to go to a bachelor party. His name is Luke Finney. He's a Navy SEAL, Naval Academy graduate. And, you know, I was picking him up from the airport, and he was literally coming back from Stanford Ignite, right? So he literally got on a plane from Stanford, flew to Newark. I picked him up from the airport, and then we went out to this bachelor party. And on the three-hour drive to this party that was in upstate New York, you know, he was telling me about Stanford, and he was like, Mike, this is a perfect program. You know, it was amazing. I think you'd be a really good fit for it. And, you know, was just kind of talking it up to me. And I was like, oh, yeah, you know, I'll apply. Well, fast forward, like 3 or 4 months later, he emailed me and was like, hey, Mike, I know you're going to apply to this program, right? We talked about it, and he sent me the link. And so he was poking me just to make sure I applied. And so I went ahead and applied for the program, and it was just absolutely life-changing. Mm-hmm. You know, everything I've done now since going to Stanford Ignite, has sent me, it just completely changed my, you know, life path, to be honest.
What's I'm sure there's a million things you learned. What is there one thing that maybe you could share with listeners, something that you learned there that you've applied to Ironbound Boxing?
Yeah, absolutely. So when I first got the big thing I took away from Stanford was this concept of a framework, right? Like frameworks, they kept saying the framework of entrepreneurship and the framework of, like, you know, pitching your business. And I had no idea what they were talking about, because I come from a humanities background. You know, my undergrad was in history. My master's is in American studies with an emphasis in public history. And here I am at Stanford at the Graduate School of Business, one of the best entrepreneurship programs in the country, hearing these professors talk about framework. But essentially what I found out at the end is that, like, no matter what your venture is, right, there are certain things that people need to focus in on that are going to help them get their venture where they need to go, and especially if you're trying to raise funds and support for it. So just this concept of, like, a value proposition where you help identify a problem, and you identify a problem, and you come up with a solution. And, you know, going through the basics, you know, problem, solution, go-to-market strategy, you know, what's the competitive landscape look like? What's your financials look like? Like, these basic frameworks. And if you can do that and you start focusing your business, whether it's a nonprofit, for-profit, a project idea, it doesn't matter. But that going through it in that sequence and understanding it by looking at it through those lenses of, like, problem, solution, you know, marketing, finance, it really changes the game and takes it out of, like, an idea and treats it more like a business. And going out to Stanford, when I'll tell, you know, listeners that, don't have your idea in the bubble. Because I think the thing is, a lot of people think that they have this great idea and that, you know, they can't share it with anybody. But you have to get out there and you have to get in front of people, and you have to put your idea out to the universe so you can get feedback. And that way you can make the adjustments you need. Because, you know, where I'm at now with Ironbound is not where I started. I mean, I've made multiple pivots in the last, like, year or so. But again, going out to Stanford, I realized, like, that's normal, right? Like, you got to keep trying new things until you get the right answer. Like, there's no magic formula for it. But if you can think about it in the right mindset, it will definitely help you move forward with your venture.
And, you know, maybe to also put this in perspective, what has been one of the most challenging aspects, or is there like a moment that you can think of since starting Ironbound Boxing that was really difficult on this entrepreneurial journey?
Yeah, well, one is the environment I operate in. So as nice as Stanford is, and, you know, doing the stuff I do with Bunker Labs in New York City, you know, I go in and out of the inner city, and then I go back to, you know, New York City and all these other places, constantly jumping in and out of cold and hot water. And a lot of the skill sets that I use to move Ironbound forward, you know, on the, how do I say it, like, the strategy side and, you know, marketing and things like that. Well, at the end of the day, I'm still dealing with personalities in the inner city, right? So they don't check Google Calendar. They don't check emails. You know, it's very street. It's very gritty. And so I have to tote that line of, you know, those two worlds. And so sometimes it's super frustrating because it's, like, not the most professional, no matter how hard I try. But at the end of the day, I understand that, like, Newark is a hard environment to operate in. And the fact that I have a gym here, you know, is a foothold, regardless of the fact. And so just always having to battle I always have to fight that battle daily of, you know, the personalities in Newark and then, you know, the business people that are actually going to help me get what I need to get done.
That's incredible. Could you walk us through, just to give people a sense of what it's like to be in your shoes, either a representative day, you could pick a random day in the last couple of weeks, but just kind of walk us through what your day looks like, especially if you can point out kind of the timestamps of when you start and just kind of the different activities that you do throughout the day.
Yeah, sure. So I had a full-time job, you know, for 3 years. I moved to Newark. I was running a residence hall. So I was living in a school with all boys, managing a resident hall with my girlfriend, Paris Monaghan. And this was for, you know, 3 years. And so 70 teenage boys all living in this resident hall. And I was doing that. But I quit that job to focus on Ironbound full time and more specifically to stand up this for profit. So typically my day now looks like I live right downtown. I get up, I go work out. I still think, you know, physical fitness is important and it helps me get in the right, you know, mental mindset. And then luckily where I moved, I don't have an office space in Newark yet. I have office space in New York City. But typically I'll get up and where my apartment's at, there's like a beautiful place to just work, right? Like out front. And so, you know, after I get back to my workout, I cook breakfast and then I just go out into the main lobby area and start working. What I'll do is, you know, check my emails. I'll do some correspondence. What if I have some meetings or something booked via like Google Calendar or whatnot, I'll make sure I, you know, do those meetings and knock that stuff out. So the brunt of my work is probably done between, I'd say, 10 a.m. and about 3:30. And right at 3:30, I have to leave to go open my boxing gym. And so I go to the gym. I open the gym from 4 to 6. And I'm there coaching, you know, working with the coaches, working with some of the volunteers and whatnot, talking to the kids, catching up. I try to sneak a little bit of workout in after, not long, just like 30 minutes, 45 minutes, hit the bag. And my other coach comes in at 6. And so once he gets there, some days I'll stay and watch foreign, but typically I'll try to get out of there so I can get back home. And if I need to follow up on some emails or some calls in the evening, I go ahead and do that. Cook dinner, check some emails, you know, start working on some projects, and then try to go to bed at a reasonable hour, which I'm failing at right now. But I'm still, you know, still trying to lock in this daily routine.
It's so awesome, Mike. I have so much respect for what you're doing, and I respect the courage that it's taken to leave your job and start this, but also just really appreciate, it seems like you've got this pure intention of giving back to the city, giving back to those who are less fortunate. And while you were chatting, you do have a donate link on your website. I just donated $50. I'm going to put a link in the show notes for anyone else that wants to donate to support this. But I wanted to ask more broadly, you know, if someone is listening to this and they're moved like I am about the work that you're doing, how can they support you?
So the big thing that's really helped me out is I try very hard to connect dots that don't currently exist. And right now, you know, regardless, there's just not a lot of dots connecting to the environment that I'm trying to operate at in Newark. But fortunately, through the veteran community, I've been able to, you know, link Ironbound with WeWork, which is a massive business organization. I've been able to connect them with Bunker Labs, which is, you know, this veteran nonprofit that's doing great work. And then all their resources and assets in the city. So I say that to say, like, introductions are huge for us and technical assistance. So, you know, in lieu of money, because money is always great, but also execution is even better. So people that feel like they can connect us with people to help us do what we're trying to do, whether it's get us, you know, connected to, let's say, Prudential here in Newark to teach a class. Do they have any connects at Prudential? Or some of these other corporations that they think would be viable and would like to partner with us, you know, sending me, you know, links or intros that can help me get to that point, you know, because there's always gatekeepers, right? And the more you network and the more you connect with people, the closer you get. So that's been super helpful. And then technical assistance, right? So like I said, money is great, but I've found that I've been able to personally take technical assistance and run with it. What do I mean by technical assistance? People that are willing to do some pro bono legal work for us, because that's a hassle, that saves hassle. People that might want to do some marketing and social media work for us. People that want to do some graphic design for us, like that is all very super helpful, and I'm able to actually take that and monetize it with the Ironbound brand. So people that are willing to help in those capacities, whether they have, you know, experience with public speaking or anything like that, as I start to build out this team and build out this company, you know, it'd be great for people that can really kind of help me until I you know, start generating the revenue I need and getting the funding I need to actually make it happen. Because right now, you know, as great as the job we're doing, you know, we're still self-funded, right? So I'm living off my savings to make this thing happen. I want to be able to pay my coaches to free up my time away from the gym so I can go out and actually, you know, continue to focus on the business aspect.
That's awesome. And for listeners, I'll add in the show notes all those things he just asked about so you can quickly reference there to see where he needs assistance. And I also just want to highlight for listeners, I think that Mike did a fantastic job of having a very clear, we call it call to action. And I think that whether you're in entrepreneurship or whether you're looking for a job, it's great that he had that little soundbite of exactly specifically where he needs help. It makes it easy for listeners to help. It makes it easy for me to help, and that's really awesome. What about Mike, if someone listening is on active duty and they aspire to start their own company, what advice would you give to an aspiring veteran entrepreneur?
First thing is, I would say don't be afraid to work for free, right? So, you know, we talk about, obviously, you know, I'm involved with this organization, Bunker Labs, which is this national nonprofit, and, you know, we help connect veteran entrepreneurs with resources all across the country. You know, we do these bunker brews, which is our big events, and then we have this programming available to them. And even now we have access to free working space, which, you know, a program I run with the veterans and residents. But the thing is, like, a lot of the skills I've learned that have helped me elevate and move Ironbound forward have been through the work I've done with Bunker Labs and WeWork, right? So getting in there, getting on the ground, so getting that OJT training for like management or whatever it is you think you want to do for Garden of Venture, it's super helpful. The second thing I think is the education piece is important. I don't necessarily think you have to sit inside like a classroom for 8 hours a day, but taking, you know, a class here or there, you know, to learn about business and entrepreneurship is super helpful. And then mirroring that with like podcasts and Audible, right? So, you know, to sum it up real briefly, you know, get that OJT training combined with, you know, some classwork, you know, whether it's one class on a weekend or whatever, and then the constant feedback, the constant knowledge coming from podcasts and Audible. And if you mirror all those three things together, I think it really empowers, like, the entrepreneur. Because to be honest, like, I think for some of us as veterans, we're always looking for, like, a job, but we're not looking for, like, what is it that job is, what do I want to walk away from that job with, right? Like, if I know I want to do a venture in fintech, but I have no fintech experience, right? The best way to get fintech experience is to do fintech work, whether you're volunteering for it or not. And I think a lot of veterans, like, people don't realize, like, if you've been in a leadership position, at least, like, you bring some value. Nobody wants to turn down, like, a good worker that's going to work for free. Now, you know what you're going to get out of it in your heart, but, like, maybe most people might not understand, like, why are you, you know, working so hard for free and not getting compensated? But you know that what you're trying to walk away from is different than what most people are trying to walk away from. You're trying to walk away with knowledge, skills, and experience. So getting in these companies and, you know, spending some time around the startup world definitely will help you, like, with your own venture. And that's why I still, to this day, work with Bunker Labs. I'm still doing some work with WeWork because, again, they've raised my game for the stuff I'm doing with Ironbound.
That's great. And for listeners, I'll put in the show notes, I'll put a link to episode 139, where I talked to Todd Connor, who's the founder of Bunker Labs. It's an incredible organization. But I know you've already talked about it a little bit. Could you talk a little bit more about your work with Bunker Labs? I believe you've worked with them for over 9 years as the director of or a city leader in New York. But could you share more about how you're involved with them?
Yeah, absolutely. It definitely hasn't been 9 years.
Nine months.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah. So I got connected with Bunker Labs through one of my classmates out at Stanford Ignite, Justine Evers. And so, you know, we went to a Bunker Brews out there, and I was like, oh, this is cool. And I kind of wanted that same. So I haven't – let me stop. I was not involved in the veteran community at all until Bunker Labs, right, and Stanford Ignite, because I didn't want to be defined by it. I thought I'm more old school. I think better than, like, you are, and it's kind of cool, and, you know, people, like, you're in infantry and you did the Marines and all that kind of stuff, but I wasn't always leading with that, right? So it's always been just kind of like an aspect of who I am, but not like how I define myself. So I go to Stanford Ignite, and I was like, hey, this is pretty cool, being around these other veteran entrepreneurs, this isn't a bad thing. And then, like, how do I continue this post Stanford Ignite? Well, I connected with Justine out at Stanford. She took basically the whole cohort to a Bunker Brews, and then she did an email intro to the New York City team for me when I got back to Newark. And because Bunker Labs is not in New Jersey yet, the closest one was New York City. So I ended up going out to New York City, and actually invited me to pitch my venture at the New York City Muster, which was where, you know, we bring, it's a big event. We have people coming from all over New York City for a full day of like programming. Ty Connor's there, the Bunker Labs HQ team is there. And I pitched Ironbound in front of them. And it just so happens that that was the same day that WeWork and Bunker Labs were announcing their veteran in residence program. And so because of my job at the time, I was working in the evening and not during the day. I got pinged as an opportunity to lead the veterans residence program in New York City. Now, they hadn't really seen me work. They just knew that, like, I was a Naval Academy guy. I seemed super passionate about Ironbound, and they wanted to help me. And they thought the WeWork opportunity would be a great way to do that, you know, running that program. And so I volunteered to do it, and I actually just took it and ran with it, basically. What ended up happening was every story I did for WeWork and Bunker Labs actually led to a follow-up story for Ironbound. So essentially, Bunker Labs and WeWork gave me a platform to tell my story. And when you combine those networks of, you know, 150,000 WeWork members and then God knows how many Bunker Lab members and networks, it just kind of, there was just great synergy. But more specifically, what I do for Bunker Labs is, as a city leader, I'm responsible for helping pull veterans in the broader New York City, New Jersey area into the Bunker Labs ecosystem. So just so you know, a lot of stuff I've talked about regarding Stanford Unite and programming and things like that, if you think of like a top MBA program, let's say Columbia or, I don't know, Harvard, whatever, Stanford even, you know, they're buzzing, right? Like you go to events, they're cool, people are working on entrepreneurship. How do we bring that to our community, right? And what Bunker Labs does is it fills that role. So essentially, you don't have to go to a, you know, like really high speed MBA program to find an entrepreneur ecosystem that connects you with programming and great opportunities. And that's what we are bringing as Bunker Labs to the veteran community. I mean, we're doing it in like a really unique ways. The first way is we have the Bunker Brews. So we host these events once a month, which are Bunker Brews. And this is to pull people into our entrepreneurial ecosystem. And it's a great way. It's like the most important thing we do. No matter where you are, find a Bunker Brews and go to it. Then we have this online portal like Launch Lab Online, which lets entrepreneurs work independently from wherever they are and go through this online cohort that takes them through the steps of like idea to invoice. That's what Todd Connor says. He calls it idea to invoice. And then the more specifically, the program run is the veteran and residence program. So what we're able to do is we're able to provide entrepreneurs in 14 cities across the country that are working on their ventures full time or really part time, really making a big leap. We're able now to provide them with free co-working space at WeWork. And what that does is it gives them a legitimacy, right? Because if you, I don't know how it is in the rest of the country, but let me tell you, New York City, if you're meeting with investors and, you know, they ask you, when can we meet, where can we meet? And you tell them Starbucks, you know, on Madison Ave, like they're not going to be too impressed. But it's kind of nice and it's confident when you say, hey, we have an office at West 57th, right? And the WeWork community is just buzzing in general. So it's a great environment for entrepreneurs. It's just different. And I see that program. We provide, not only do we Bunker Brews once a month, but we also connect them with programming. So we have different events coming in, whether it's like blockchain, legal, marketing stuff. And we get speakers and different opportunities to come in and connect them with that. And so I've been actually just a big advocate for that program with WeWork and just really trying to grow that so people know the opportunity is out there. And then, you know, after that, we have a CEO circle, which is essentially just a veteran entrepreneur, a mastermind group. So as veteran entrepreneurs start their businesses and they start generating revenue. Now you're able to participate in this mastermind group around other veteran entrepreneurs that are possibly dealing with some of the same struggles you are. So I know I just went through a lot of stuff, but you know, my most important thing with Bunker Labs is just helping connect veterans with the resources we have. I get so many calls about it because people see my social media and they always see me involved with Bunker Labs, and it's phenomenal. Bunker Labs and WeWork is a great combination, and I encourage people to seek it out.
That's awesome. And I would just want to point out for listeners, the, you know, if you listen to Mike's story, you see you know, some might call it serendipity, but it's like, you know, he picks up his friend from the airport and that's how he learns about Stanford Ignite. And that was a life-changing experience. And then at Stanford Ignite, he meets Justine Evers, who's also been on the show, and learns about Bunker Labs. And that is impactful. And I don't view it as serendipity. You know, from my limited knowledge of you, Mike, you seem like an extremely talented, gifted entrepreneur, and you are putting yourself out there constantly, you're taking risks and you're meeting with people, and it makes sense that out of those meetings come some really exceptional things. But I think it's great for listeners just to mark that it's not, I think a lot of veterans can be turned off by this thought of networking. It's not like he's going around specifically trying to see what he can get things out of. He's just putting himself out there, meeting with people, and good things have come from that. And I think that's a great role model for listeners.
I was going to say, when people give you introductions, you can't be afraid to follow up on those. You know, that's huge for me in New York City, is the intros, the power of the intro, you know, because people keep their Rolodex pretty tight. And if they're willing to make an intro on your behalf, and Bunker Labs is one of the things that allows people to make intros on your behalf, you know, you got to jump on it. But it's on you to follow up and meet with those people and connect.
Awesome. Well, I know we're at the end of our time here, but I always like to leave the last question open-ended. What have we not covered that you want to share with listeners?
I feel like we've covered, pretty much everything. You know, I don't know. It's the idea of being an entrepreneur, right? It's still kind of new to me. And I'm really just trying to solve a problem, and that's really just getting this gym funded and creating free recreation. There's a lot of smoke and mirrors involved with the entrepreneurship, and it's like a cool hipster term. But I think, you know, at the very basic is I'm just trying to give kids free access to boxing at this point and get them something more than the street life. So if you think you can help me with that, or you're willing to support the venture, you know, I just encourage people to go to ironboundboxing.org, you know, go ahead and donate. That allows us to provide the free recreation, that allows us to, you know, feed the kids and do different activities with the kids. And even more than just donate, we really need those recurring donations, and, you know, grants and whatnot are huge for us. And, people that want to help me build out this for-profit, I'm all on, you know, come find me. I'm in Newark. So just shoot me a message on LinkedIn or send me an email. It doesn't matter. I'll do my best to connect with you.
Awesome. Well, Mike, I appreciate your time. I appreciate your example. Listeners, I will add all of these links in the show notes. I hope that you will support what Mike is doing. I just donated during the interview. I think that if you're like me, you're moved by the good work that Mike is doing in the world. So thanks so much for your time today, Mike.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Beyond the Uniform. There are over 200 free episodes at beyondtheuniform.io. They're classified by the industry of focus, the functional role the person plays, and more. Beyond the Uniform is hosted, produced, and edited by me, Justin Asiri. Our director of outreach, responsible for sponsorship and guest episodes, is Steve Bain. Our editor, responsible for the show notes and text transcripts for all episodes, is Kathleen Dillon. Our data analytics and insights advisor is Andrew Woolridge. If you are enjoying Beyond the Uniform, you can help us out by telling your veterans and friends in the military about this free resource. There is more information on the website about how you can sponsor an episode or donate to our program to help us grow the work that we're doing. Be sure to check out the coaching section of beyondtheuniform.io, where you can be paired with professional, subsidized coaches to help you figure out your next career move. You can sign up for our newsletter to be up to date on the latest happenings at Beyond the Uniform. And in each show notes section, there is a link to audible.com, which is providing a free audiobook of your choice to Beyond the Uniform listeners. You get a free book of your choosing, and Beyond the Uniform gets $15 to subsidize the cost of the show, regardless of whether you continue with audible.com or not. Check that out and more in the show notes for this episode. Keep the feedback coming. Let me know what resources would help you in your career, and we'll do our best to make that happen. Take care, be safe, and I'll be back next week with more interviews with military veterans about their civilian career.